for this week's edition of Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt joining us here in studio, as always, to talk about a documentary film this week.
Yeah, it's a documentary film called Tribal Waters, funded in part by Patagonia. A lot of people don't know that the founder of Patagonia is from Lewiston, Maine, Yvon Chouinard. He was a famous rock climber, outdoors man, and made Patagonia into the huge company it is today, and was always an environmental activist. And I was drawn to this film for a couple of reasons, and one of them is that we have a tendency in America to think environment, business being always at loggerheads. But companies like Patagonia, like Orvis, like L.L. Bean, like recreational equipment, have always been at the forefront of environmental concerns. Now, you can be a cynic and say, well, of course, that benefits them because they sell equipment to be used in the outdoors. But they also know that when you lose things, you often can't get them back. And what started me thinking about this is, I don't know if you can remember your first science project ever in elementary school. I know what mine was. Mine was a big diagram of the hydrologic cycle with a snow-capped mountain and little streams and bigger streams and rivers in the ocean and little evaporation and more clouds and that kind of stuff.
I think I made fake fossils.
Fake fossils? That's cool. Yeah. Well, I've always been drawn to water. As a fisherman, I prefer to fish rivers and streams than lakes or the ocean. And I have a lake 4 feet from my door up at camp. And I've always cared about riparian rights. And that's what goes downstream. You know, if you have one of the things I find so noble about Maine and so obnoxious about other states is if you put fish in a body, if the state puts fish in a body of water in Maine, the public has to have access. They put fish in rivers in West Virginia that for miles and miles and miles on both sides are owned by private trout organizations. I find that just awful. If I lived in West Virginia, I'd make it my full-time complaint. But water as an issue in Maine, generally when it comes to rivers, first was to clean them up. And thank God Ed Muskie was here, and Ed Muskie got the Clean Waters Act, and the Androscoggin and the Penobscot and the Saco and the Kennebec are rivers that people swim and raft in now. And that part of the Maine economy is huge. No one should underestimate how big recreational use of our waters is. It's an enormous part of the Maine economy. And for years, it didn't exist because the rivers were polluted. Well, once the rivers got to be better taken care of and some of the dams came down, we started to have another discussion. That's, what are our fisheries? What do our fisheries mean? The state of Maine has the last native brook trout fishery in New England. There are native brook trout in other states, but it's not considered a fishery because there's so much put and take. And we have the only viable landlocked salmon habitat in the Northeast as well. Brook trout used to be native from Georgia all the way up through where they are now found in Newfoundland and up into the Arctic region. They're only found in Maine naturally in a number of rivers and streams. Well, what this Tribal Waters documentary is about, it was written by a fella named Darren Calhoun, who's Arapaho on one side, Northern Arapaho on one side, and Eustis Shoshone on the other. It's about what's happening to the Wind River Reservation. Originally 43 million acres, treaty broken after treaty broken, it's 4 million acres now. And the Wind River region of Wyoming is spectacularly gorgeous. I have had the chance to drive through it. But more and more water gets drained out of our rivers in the West for things that really shouldn't be. There's a reason that you don't grow crops in the desert, because there's no water. And if you divert water to the desert to grow crops, you take that water and you start to ruin the fisheries, you start to ruin all the traditional uses of it. You make recreational uses of the water less and less possible. Now, rivers are America's first highways. It's true of the whole world. I mean, that's the way people first moved up and down over long distances, were on rivers or by following rivers on their shores to get to the next place. So when Europeans came, they decided that they were going to start damming these rivers. Native people did not dam the rivers. They might put up fish weirs. They may have put up little dams to help trap beaver in small streams. They had no desire to dam huge streams because they knew that the water upstream and downstream was related. What's happened on the Wind River Reservation is that sections of the reservation now, the water gets very, very low. And they have built very successful commercial rafting companies and guiding companies, and they've gone, worked very hard with people there, members of the two tribes that live on that reservation, to be good stewards of the water when it goes through the reservation. But they can't control anything that happens to it after it leaves the reservation. It takes 1,600 to 1,800 gallons of water to raise enough cotton to make one pair of blue jeans. It takes 400 gallons of water to make one T-shirt. And the biggest boondoggle in the West, and this is me now speaking, I admit that this is my opinion, is that the Bureau of Land Management has millions of acres of Western land that they allow people to graze cattle on at almost no cost and allow to irrigate. We don't need nearly as many cattle as we have in this country, and the farmers would be doing better if we had less of it and we weren't exporting so much. But they're just using water to drive industry, and they're taking the water from indigenous people and giving it to non-indigenous people. Because once the water leaves the reservation, suddenly it isn't, no matter how that affects the indigenous people, they've lost their rights to that. The rights have been taken from them by court actions in the state of Wyoming and other places. Now, what's that got to do with the state of Maine? Well, it's got to, a lot to do with the state of Maine, actually. As we know, the Penobscot people were promised all the islands in the Penobscot River. And then they were told, oh, but that's not the Penobscot, that's the Stillwater.
Right, right.
So you don't get Marsh Island, and you don't get all these other islands. And by not allowing the Penobscots to have stewardship over that water, they allowed other people to denigrate that water. And so the fishing, which sustained the tribes, and this is true of the Passamaquoddy, I'm learning it's true of the Mi'kmaq and the Houlton Band of Maliseets, that great deal of what they lived off at one time, those fisheries have been destroyed either by dams or pollution or rerouting water or changing the way rivers flow. The healthier the rivers are, the healthier your whole ecosystem is. The state of Maine stands to be that, especially in the near run with climate warming the way they are. We stand to be the place that the recreation that does minimal harm to the river, our rivers, can become a driving force, even bigger economic force. I mean, my son is a registered rafting guide, and he has said that, yeah, there are times the river's overcrowded, but that's because we're not using all the rivers, because all the rivers aren't ready for that. They haven't been cleaned up. But the Saco has become a rafting place, which it wasn't years ago, to go along with the three big ones, the Penobscot, the Kennebec, and the Androscoggin. There's rafting on the Dead. There's starting to be some more fishing guided fishing on the Sandy River. Guided fishing in a boat where you're just drifting down and fly fishing is very low impact. And the fisheries can be helped by being fished. They can be overfished. That's easy to do. But in Scotland, they all went to the America, put everything back, and they noticed that their brown trout fishery, they weren't getting huge brown trout anymore. Now they said, well, you know, you need to take them in the mid-range. We're doing the same thing in Maine. But what's threatening us, and I know that from what I've talked to from people on the Penobscot Nation, is that tampering with the fish in the river. Splake is a hybrid between a brook trout and a rainbow trout, and it dumbs both species down, and people have wanted to introduce them all over northern Maine because they're easier to catch. Well, but that's going to decimate what draws people to Maine. I mean, splake are easier to catch. There are bass in Moosehead Lake. They were not there originally. The theory is, and this is alleged to be the case, that the guy that invented the banjo minnow put bass in Moosehead Lake. Hmm. Bass are voracious, and they are a rapacious fish, and they will hurt the salmon and the trout stocks in that lake. Moosehead Lake's pH has changed almost imperceptibly since the 1940s because it's so big and it can clean itself so well. Adding bass is an awful thing. There are no bass up where I am on the north end of the lake, but they do say in the south end of the lake and some of the outlets they have it. If the Penobscot people and the native tribes were in charge of those rivers, you wouldn't be able to get away with that, right? I mean, and it's true. Barry Dana said very eloquently a number of years ago, you know, we may have done a lot of things wrong in the way we negotiated things, but the river was always so important to us, like Katahdin. We wouldn't do anything to harm it. And this, if people would watch this documentary, it's 49 minutes and 51 seconds. You can watch it for free. You go to patagonia.com/tribalwaters. You can also see it on YouTube. Yes, you're going to see this magnificent Wyoming country, and you're going to see a whole different landscape than we have here. But you're going to see exactly what we are facing here if we start drawing more water off our rivers. We've already started to move some of the dams down. We're never going to get totally rid of hydropower. I don't think we need to do that. But we need to look at the lessons from the West, because the West is drying up. The Western rivers are under great stress. We live in a place where we have plenty of water right now. But with the climate changing and the like, that's not always going to be there. So I really urge people to watch it. I'm hoping that next week we'll have someone from one of the enrolled tribes in Maine to talk about the efforts that they've made and how they've been thwarted in those efforts to regain control of the river.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
It's an incredible documentary, and the guy who wrote it stars in it, narrates it, and he's just a real level-headed guy. There's no histrionics, no hysterics in here. They talk to a lot of elders. They talk to younger members of who live on the reservation. It's really, really well done, and it's just beautiful because it's Wyoming.
All right, thank you very much, Bruce. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101, every Wednesday here on Downtown.